Father. Can you, Ellie, go to the second last slide there? See, this is how we should be living our lives, shouldn't we? As though our chains are gone. And far too many of us walk around after we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we walk around still in bondage. And we walk around as if we still got these chains and, you know, we've got them wrapped around us and we're still trying to lug them through life and drag them through, and we're walking around like zombies. And we walk around as if we're defeated when we're victorious. And it was through the blood of Jesus that set us free. When we accepted Him, we believed on Him, we got His blood which washed us clean, which freed, which broke the bondage that we had when we were unbelievers before we knew Him. We don't have to carry that bondage anymore. We're no longer defeated. We're no longer prisoners, but we are free. And He has paid the debt that we owed. And isn't that a good thing to know? So if for nothing else, but that He paid the debt that we owed, that we couldn't pay, we should be walking with a little bounce on our step, a little skip, in a manly skip type of way. But we should be walking without bondage. We should be walking with full confidence in every promise of His word that has been given to us already. Things like healing, things like the blessings that He's poured out, things like prosperity, everything, every promise in His word is for us. And we should be walking those out today in our lives. But the government, but nothing. I said we gotta get rid of those buts. We gotta throw the buts out. Back in the day, you all know this, I'm weird, I liked wrestling. I still will watch wrestling sometimes. But there was a time where the World Wrestling Federation, now you're going to really think because I know way too much about this. The World Wrestling Federation used to be known as the WWF. And then the World Wildlife Fund was also known as the WWF. So there's this big controversy. So they changed their name to World Wrestling Entertainment. And it became the WWE. And their catch slogan, don't get mad, was get the F out. We need in the church to get the butt out. You know what I mean? We always got a butt for everything. But God is the only butt we should be worrying about. Right? But God. That's the only butt that should matter. You tell me your problems and we can say, but God. Don't tell me your problems and say, but the government. But the sciatica. I don't even know. Stacey, you have to tell me I'm grabbing my butt. But we need to start moving forward and with full confidence and know that we are free. He has overthrown the grave. We have victory. And we can walk forward with confidence. Amen? Isn't that a good thing? Yeah, I love living life like that. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You that because of You, we can get the butts out of every excuse in the book, and it is only but because of You. So, Father, we thank You. We walk forward in victory. God, I pray that today as we continue talking about these gifts, that You will reveal stuff to us. You will show us things, and, Father, that we will be encouraged and blessed today. So we thank You for that, God. God, we thank You for this beautiful weather that's allowed us to just enjoy everything that You have in summer. God, we thank You for the rains that we're getting. And God, we thank You for the blessings and the supernatural rains we receive as well. And God, we stand on You and Your victories that You've given and delivered. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. If you did not grab communion, grab communion. I forgot to put it out, and I think I caught everybody during the first song. Except for you guys, I missed you. So, you got it? Okay, good. Perfect. Thank you. So it is a beautiful day outside. It's been a beautiful week. I will not complain too much. I will complain a little. I'm built for 20, not for 40. But it's good. It was a nice, we had fun. We spent the week at the lake just enjoying it at times and hiding at times. But we enjoyed a game of Monkey in the Middle on Friday when my kids really roughed me up. Was it Friday? It was Friday, right? Friday, and Ella was really hurting me. She's a lot stronger than I thought she was, than I remembered she was. But that's good. It was fun. So we're in our series called Reaching Out, and we've been talking about our gifts and different types of gifts, and really just going through this journey of understanding what various giftings, what different giftings look like, things to press into if that's where you feel your gifting might be, and things to kind of draw back from and be cautious of. Because gifts, when we start talking about gifts, the first thing that comes out when we start talking about gifts is pride. And there's stuff that we want to really draw attention to and talk about so that pride doesn't set in. Because when we become prideful, we become ineffective. There's a difference between being confident and walking in the gifting and being prideful about the gifting. Like, well, I'm an apostle and you're not, so you're going to listen to me. Thus saith the Lord. It's not how this works, people. We're one body, we work together, and every gifting has its purpose and place. And we need each other. We need every part. We need our hands, we need our fingers, we need our toes. Don't we? So, because if you don't have your big toes, it's really hard to keep your balance, isn't it? And we started this series talking about increasing, succeeding, and prospering. And the church, according to the New Testament, is to equip the saints for the work of your ministry. This is what we've talked about every week. This has been kind of my opening for each week, and it's just a reminder. And each and every one of us in this room is called to minister the gospel. And the ministry needs to go forth out of these walls and into the various corners and parts of our community, into our homes, into our families. We have to be doing the work of the ministry everywhere we go. It doesn't say, oh, Sunday at 12, I'm done. Another week off. That's not how this works. This doesn't work that way. And we need to have people actually that are leaving here that are influential in all areas of business. We need to be influential in politics. We need to be influential in the education system, the medical system. We need to be influential in education, arts, movies, music, media. There's this whole line of thinking about influencers today with respect to social media, like with Instagram. And we need to be those influencers in every aspect of life. We can't let some, I don't know, hotshot jock be an influencer when we should be the influencers that influence this world. Should we? We should be that influencer. We have an opportunity, and we need to be stepping out and being the influencer that we are called to be. We need good, godly, gifted Christian leaders to take the gospel forth and be influencing the world. Because Jesus said to occupy until he comes back. He doesn't say to sit on your recliner and rock and talk about the good old days. Does he? He doesn't tell you to sit there and say, oh, but the Liberals, but the Conservatives, but the NDP, but the Green Party. Did he? No, we're supposed to occupy. We are supposed to advance and take up ground. We're not supposed to hide in our bunkers and wait. We're not supposed to just sit there and say, well, can't wait for Jesus to come back. I've said this I don't know how many series in a row. We can't just sit on our butts and wait. That's not the job of the Christian. That's not the job of the believer. That is not someone that believes on Jesus. Our job as those that believe on Jesus is to take up ground, to advance the kingdom, When you're in battle, when you're in war, did you ever see in World War II, they say, okay, we just got to keep our line here. Let's keep our line. Keep the line. Is that what they did? Hold the line, but we're not going to advance. No, let's take the line, hold the line, and advance the line. Because that's the only way you win the battle. When I'm playing football, it wasn't like, okay, we got to keep this. We don't want them to cross our 50-yard line, and we're not going to advance that ball, so hopefully we don't get into a battle. No, what's the job in football? You take the football and you put it over the other team's end zone, the goal line, right? You advance the ball, and you stop the other team from advancing, right? I can't explain cricket or any of those other types of sports because I don't know them. But I'm sure there's something there about that. But football is such a great example. That's why it's my favorite sport. And we don't play the game for the tie, do we? You never play for the tie. You always play for the W, for the win. And obviously we're not playing when it comes to being a believer, but we are doing this for the win because we already have the win, don't we? So let's start playing for the win. And Jesus told us to occupy until he comes back. Take up ground for the kingdom. Advance the kingdom. Walk in the blessings and the things that we already have. And we're talking about these gifts, and we've talked about pastors and teachers. And we want to talk today about the prophet. And after today, we're going to talk next week about evangelists, and then we're going to start moving into other things like administration and giving and mercy and helps and craftsmanship and those other gifts. But today, we're going to focus on the prophet and the difference between the gift of prophecy and the prophet. And I want this to be a season of growth in our lives. I want this to be a season of aha moments for us. I think it's important for us. And I think it's important to be able to recognize in ourselves and in others when that pride might be coming in. Because I've seen far too often, far too many people that they get a gift and they're like, look at me. And look at you fools out there. You know what I mean? Obviously, I'm not calling you fools, but look at you fools out there. Like, it's crazy. It is crazy, and we need to be able to be accountable to each other when we walk in our gifts, and we need to hold each other accountable. And we're going to do what we've done for the past few weeks, and we're going to start with reading Ephesians 4, 7 to 16. And it says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. That's what we were just saying. For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fulfillment of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every kind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I find it interesting when we read that too, that there's a couple times where it talks about, you know, expressing this and talking about stuff and just doing it, and it refers to it being done in love. Right? Because love is what Jesus is. And if we're not doing our gifts and walking out our gifts in love, we're doing it wrong. Everything can be done in love. Can't it? Absolutely. You can give someone a, not a verbal lashing, but you could do a correction in love. It's how we choose our words. It's how we express it, how we talk about it. And it can always be done in love. It's about using our brains and computing it and expressing it in love. The gift of prophet is one of the five leadership gifts that we talk about in Ephesians 4:11. For those that are called to a ministry area that is called to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And that's part of the fivefold ministry, the fivefold giftings that we've talked about. We're on number four. I was trying to figure out how to make a four. We're number four right now. Four. We're on number four right now, okay? And the gift of prophecy is the divine strength or ability to communicate God's truth, his messages, and heart to God's people in a way that calls people to a right relationship with God. And a prophet first listens to what God is saying and then shares what God is saying with the people intended to receive the message. All for the purpose of honoring the message itself and what God and the God who sent it. Sorry. So what is a prophet? What is the role of the prophet? See, there's a gift of prophecy and the gift of a prophet. And the primary difference between these two is leadership. A prophet is a trainer and an equipper of the church as a whole, as well as others with prophetic gifting. And a person with the gift of prophecy is someone who correctly uses their gift of prophecy as God leads them. So one is a position of leadership, one is a gift of the ability. And there is a difference, and there is unique situations where you will see people with the different side of the gift of prophecy. And both gifts align with 1 Corinthians 14:3 and its description of what prophecy does to build up, to encourage, and to bring consolation. And it says this in 1 Corinthians 14:3, "But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men." See, the word prophecy used in the Bible means to speak forth, to speak on behalf of another. And there are two types of prophecy, foretelling and forthtelling. Foretelling is when God gives a prophet a word about something that is to come. Where forthtelling, I'm trying to emphasize it because they sound so close, but forthtelling is a direct word from God towards a specific situation, usually containing specific direction or information that only God himself would know. And the vast majority of prophecy we see in Scripture is forthtelling. Forth. Not foretelling, forthtelling. See, prophets, like all people walking in spiritual gifts, also make mistakes. And that is why it is important for believers called to this place of a prophet, or who are given the gift of prophecy, to look at scriptures like 1 Corinthians 14:29 to 33. I don't know if that's up there, is it? Yeah. "Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. But if any is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." So, to me, if God is not an author of confusion, I believe with all prophecy that he may speak to us, because we all have this gift of prophecy in us. We all are our own prophets of our life. We are what we speak. As we speak, we step it out. But this gift of the prophet is different. And as the prophet speaks, We need to not take it and just run with it, but we need to check it ourselves, because God will bring clarity to that if it is for us. We're not, if you've ever had a prophet speak to you, and you're like, that doesn't make sense, and you're running around in confusion, we need to realize that we need to step back, because he is a God of peace, he is a God of order, and we need to step back, and we need to spend time with him and see how that prophecy aligns with his word for our lives. The Bible. And the Apostle Paul gives practical and helpful instructions for the use of this gift among other believers in church. He says, first let two or three prophesy, then leave the room for the prophet to weigh what is said. And there is something to add. If there is something to add, let them contribute it. All while the first remains in a posture to listen and learn. Paul's words show a very clear design for the prophet to both trust in others with a prophetic voice, especially those with wisdom and experience, and to share the load in order to not emphasize only one voice. I've been in places and churches where there's only one voice, and it's old Sister Mildred, who's 190 years old. We have no Mildreds here, right? Good. We have no Esthers here? Okay, but it's somebody basically that just has a bee in their bonnet and wants to use their gift of prophecy to share their bee. And I've seen this happen far too often, and it becomes this situation manipulation. They utilize their prophetic gift, and they may very well have, and they're using it as this manipulation twist to get what they want out of the church, get what they want out of Joe or Ed or Larry, Curly or Mo. They're using their gift as that. But we need to utilize our gift of prophecy in a healthy and accountable way, is what I'm trying to tell you. And we also see that in verse 32, Paul says, the spirit of the prophets are subject to prophets. Prophets are to be willfully submissive to other prophets, to each other. They're to be open to correction and instruction, and to be dependent on each other. Far too often I've seen people that are prophets put themselves on this high stature, and they think that they should be sitting on a stool somewhere. And this is true for all gifts, but I find, and I say this with all love, is I find prophets typically want to stand on their soapbox sometimes, and we need to be cautious and cognizant of that in ourselves if we feel that we have that gifting of prophet. And it's something we're going to talk about in a moment. But the other side of it is, we need to listen to the prophet and take what they have, and we need to check it. So I'm not saying we do not listen to the prophet. That's not what I'm saying. But we need to check it, like all giftings. Prophets are not meant to walk out the gift of prophecy alone. They can't. They can't. They need other prophets. They need to work together. They need to be accountable to each other. And this is why when you have a group, we need each other. We need people with different giftings to work together and to align together. We need to be cautious of things too. So if you're a prophet, here's some things to lean into. We need to lean in. We need to remember that this message that you carry, this gifting that you carry, and the message that has been spoken to you must always begin with God and spoken to you from God. And when sharing the message that you've been given, needs to deliver the point back to God and not to look at me. Okay? When you're a prophet, you need to speak with a lens, and that lens is the lens of reconciliation. As the prophet, you must speak with love. So if this is a gift that you work in, one of the things that you should be working with is learning to speak with love in all things. As believers, it's something we should all be doing, shouldn't we? Speaking and sharing with love. But as the prophet, as you are sharing a word from the Lord that is alignable to Scripture, it needs to be spoken with love. When you speak as the prophet, something else to lean into is we need to speak and give the hearer a chance to respond. And give the hearer an opportunity to take what you've spoken to them, check it in their spirit, and spend time with Holy Spirit and seek out Scripture to align it to their life and see how it fits. Sometimes we don't want to hear the word with that spirit of reconciliation, but we need to take the word and assess it. And the last one, although you might think I haven't said this throughout the message, the prophet needs to speak boldly. It's critical. It's a critical piece of the prophet. They need to speak boldly when they've done these other pieces and when they've walked in alignment with Holy Spirit, they need to speak boldly and with confidence. Some things to stay away from as a prophet, and I've kind of mentioned this earlier, and this is true for all gifts, but primarily for the prophet, is spiritual manipulation. Something that is so critical. We've shared before about as the prophet, we shouldn't be saying things like, "Thus saith the Lord," or "The Lord told me this about you." But we should be speaking in a way to say, "This is what I am sensing. Take it and assess it for yourself. How does that align with you, with what you've been feeling, what you've been told?" Because if we don't do that, we run ourselves in a dangerous place. As the prophet, we need to steer clear of this heart of judgment towards others as well. And as well as the judgment towards others, we also need to not be fearful of judgment from others. Something else that the prophet needs to be cognizant of is timidity when courage is required. Because there is going to be times where it is required. Another thing that as a prophet we need to steer clear of is knowing that our words that we speak aligns to the Word of God and it isn't a message to suit our needs or suit our wants or suit our desires, but it needs to truly be a message that has been passed on to us. The prophet needs to be cautious not to use personal preference to lead their words. And since we are a new covenant church and we all walk with this gift of prophecy of some form in our lives, and we are all called to be prophets. When I said priests, judges, kings, we all have that, but we are not all given the gift of prophecy, which is a little different. We are not all in that office within the fivefold ministry of the prophet. But we need to understand and recognize where what we speak has value. The gift of prophet is such an important role within the church. The gift of prophet is one that is required in order for the church to take steps forward. But it needs to be one with the right heart and the right attitude. It's not a... These aren't flashy messages. But I believe that they provide us with an understanding of where we need to be and what we need to do. And we're going to close in prayer now. That's all I had to say today. And if we zoomed in on my forehead, you'd probably see it look like I just played a football game up here because these lights and everything. And I like it cool. But let's close in prayer. Father God, right now we come before you, God, and we thank you for the prophets in our church and the prophets in our life. Father, we thank you that you give these gifts, that you give people the gift of prophecy, and you give people the gift of being the prophet, and that they both work hand in hand with each other, Father. And we thank you for those prophets that are in our lives that are so diligently seeking you and what you've called them to, and in this role and in this office that you've called them to. God, we pray that we would look at the prophet and not look with disdain, but we would look for integrity. We would look for support. We would look for help. And God, I pray that as we continue to journey through the rest of these giftings, God, and the rest of the gifts that are in your word, Father, that we would just seek you out in all things, whether it be the prophet's voice that we hear or the apostle's voice or the pastor's voice, but we would seek your truth from your word in it. Father, because it's your voice that we need to listen to, and we need to align to your heart. So God, we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity, God. And Father, today, I just pray that we would just lean into you more and seek you out. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, God bless, and I pray you have a wonderful Sunday in your air-conditioned trailer or your air-conditioned, for those of you online, or your air-conditioned house. And for those of you here, I pray that you cool down after you leave here. Some of you are even probably cold. Is anybody cold today? No, good. Well, I'm glad I'm not alone here and hot. Warm, we'll say. My kids would make fun of me if I said that I was hot. So have a great day. God bless, and we will see you soon.